back to today for our study. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 3. And this is study 21 in our study. And, of course, this is February the 8th, 2015. And it's dealing with walk. And we'll get involved here in just a second. We'll bow and go to the Lord in prayer. So bow with me. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to come this way, this day. Lord, and we ask that each one that might come this direction might have the eyes, ears, and hearts open that we might receive readily that word that you have so preciously saved for us down through the ages, down through the time. Lord, that we can look back and realize that you have spoken and that your oracles are still with us. And Lord, that we can look at those things and apply them to our heart and minds and lives even today. The things that went on so many years ago. And that we can get understanding and can rejoice from those things that you have put in place for us, even then. And Lord, that we might apply them to our lives and hearts in this day and age. And we thank you so much for, again, for your love and grace. And we thank you for that greatest precious gift that you could have given, and that's your Son. And that in his earthly life, that he gave it all for us, Lord, and that in that life that is to come, that he is head of all things for us. Thank you again for your love, and thank you for that that we don't deserve. And glory be to God for all that you do for us. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Okay. Again, we go into 1 Kings 3. The last time, on Wednesday night, we finished up with 1 Kings 2. And in that point, we looked at it and we realized that God allowed David to charge his son Solomon with the awesome duties of carrying on that work and that word. And we looked at three or four places there where others had been charged with the same thing. And that it goes down to the fact that these folks certainly held up their end of the deal. And, that now we're getting down to King David's son Solomon, and that, certainly Solomon is, being charged by his son David here and has taken over, the seat of his father David. And is going to rule, Israel for another period of 40 years. And, you know, there's quite a lot here in 1 Kings when you look at it, especially when, near the end of David's life and what he's telling Solomon and the fact that, there are lots of loose things that needed to be taken care of, and certainly, it was done, and it wasn't a pretty sight. And, we kind of like skipped over, a little bit of that, and we wanted to go to, chapter 3, and then, to do about 15 verses here, and as time will allow us, then we want to go to 1 Kings 6. and take that up too, because God is going to go back and have a little, talk, I guess, with Solomon in that study to reestablish, the charge again in 6. And of course, I think the same thing happens basically in chapter 8 also, where he talks about the walk. You know, we've been dealing with this thing with walk, and there's two words in the Hebrew that deals with walk, and one of them basically is, when you get right down to it, is the walk of man. And that's in Strong's 1918, and it's Holak. Holak. But then God also claims to have a walk, not only for himself, but for others. And this walk is more important, and it's 32:12, and it is Yolak. So one is Holak, the other is Yolak. But basically, when you look at it, and you look at 32:12, it is that God wishes. And quite often man walks in the way that he wishes, because he was, of course, born in this sinful nature. And he has been given the choice. And sometimes the choice is not God's choice, but it's man's choice. It's actually the old man when you think about it. But, you know, I don't think the old man was ever used probably in the Hebrew, but in that sense that it's used in Paul's writing. So, but nevertheless, it's still there. So let's look at a portion of 1 Kings 3. Let's look at verse 1. It said, and Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. And my dog is arguing with me because I will not pay her any attention. And I may have to put her in the bathroom, I don't know. So we're gonna try to talk over her for right now, but she has really got her tail tied in a knot this morning. And but it says that Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh, and this affinity is Quaffing, and it's a contract of marriage. So he went to Pharaoh to get one of Pharaoh's daughters, evidently for a wife. And so he said he brought her into the city of David until he had had an end of building his house and the house of the Lord. So they was two houses that Solomon was going to build, and of course, the important one was the house of the Lord. And because David could not do it because of all of the wars that were going on around him, and he never had the opportunity because there was never a time of peace in David's 40-year reign to where he could do any of this. And so all this fell upon his son Solomon, which was not his firstborn, of course, as we went over that a little bit the other Wednesday night. And if you weren't with me, you can go back to chapter 2 and look at that. But in verse 2 it says, Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days, or until Solomon picked up the work to do there. And certainly took a time to do it. So, I think there the word only, it says may imply regret rather than censure. Because there was, it was regrettable that there was no, high holy place, to do these things for a period of time. Because, Shiloh had, since been forsaken and the tabernacle had been moved out of Shiloh and, there was no, holy place at that point, to go to. And you'll have to excuse me for coughing because I picked up some kind of a little cough bug over the last few days. I guess the cold nights and the warm days have kind of got to me. And it says in verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So it says only that he sacrificed and of course burned incense in higher holy places at that point. And then it says in verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. A 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. So, he would go to Gibeon and make sacrifice, there. I suppose that this was at that point was where the tabernacle had been set up, or where the tabernacle was, in full. I believe it says in Joshua 9:3 and 2 Samuel 2 also that the tabernacle was, in Gibeon at that particular time. But that wasn't the only thing that happened, in Gibeon while Solomon was there doing his work according to the Lord and walking after the things that the statute that his father David had done. Because here in verse 5 we have another one of those situations where God appeared to a man in a dream. You know, the first time and the first charge was with Jacob. And this was where I think we all have heard the story about the dream and the ladder and the angels going forth up toward heaven and back. You have a charge made to Jacob there. In that place, for that. But again, here we have another one of those dreams, and there were several of them, I believe. The Companion Bible says maybe 21 of those dreams, or one of 20, maybe it was 20, we find in Scripture. And it says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. So I think here is another, little test, if you will, to Solomon after he took the seed of his father David. And so it seems like that, man gets tested either by, the fallen one or by God from time to time. And here, God was going to test his heart a little bit, going to test Solomon's heart. And he was going to ask him, what shall I give thee? What is it in your heart that you need from me? And I think that's a great thought. And certainly, if I had a dream like that, I don't know what my answer would be. But we have written in the Word of God what Solomon's answer to this dream was, and. So God says, ask what I shall give thee. So let's look at verse 6, and we will begin to see what Solomon's made of. And he said, and Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he had walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. So you see, Solomon already is displaying wisdom that certainly God was truly looking for. And so Solomon was very conscious of what God had done for his father David. And he had his eyes open and his ears were open, because he knew and understood things that David, his father, went through. And he also knew and understood why he had been chosen for his father's seat, the throne. And so he brought all these into play in this verse of Scripture here. And again, he says, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy. And that was very true, that David had many obstacles to try to overcome, but God's mercy was sufficient. And not only, you know, in David's time, but it also reminds me of the Apostle Paul and the choosing Saul of Tarsus to do that was left for someone to finish, and that Paul was the chosen vessel by the risen Savior to do that. And so Paul also was shown great mercy, but he was also tested greatly, as David was tested. And he says, according as he had walked before thee in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. So, Solomon saw the relationship between God and between his father. And I sometimes wonder if each of us, even today, could say that do our children look at us? And do our children see and realize the relationship that we have with the Lord, that how it might affect our offspring also? And you know, I thought about this in 1971 as I was confronted with this truth concerning the mystery of Christ. And they was not a question in my mind that when I heard these things being spoken unto, and I thought they were just spoken unto me, that they were being spoken to a whole congregation, that but I felt like that it was being directed directly toward me, and I hadn't made good choices concerning the situation between me and my Lord, and especially before my children, although I had them in church. And my first thought was, after I heard a couple of three of these things being taught or preached, I said, you know, where has this man been all of my life? Because it seemed like I had been prepared for a long time for these messages. And I also had enough sense to realize that it could affect my wife and my children. And it did. And it had. And part of it, you know, as Ronnie C. McCurry. So, I thank God every day for that. But that's not the only child that I have. There are others. And they understand. And they realize. And they know that their father holds Christ as his head. So I think this verse of scripture is, to me, is something that is very touching to my heart when I read it. And to realize that this young man is going to sit on his father's throne, which again is another great test and trials of endurance here, that he's going to make a change, not only for him, but he's going to make a change for a nation, and he's going to make a change for the entire world down the line. So verse 6 to me is really very one that is very telling in my heart. I didn't write any notes for this verse of scripture. Sometimes when I sit down to write notes, I've got something in mind that I want to put forth. But in this verse of scripture, I kind of did what the Lord told the disciples to do if they get called out up before the council, is to let the Holy Spirit talk for them. And so, that's what I wanted to do with this. So let's go to verse 7. Let's carry on. And he says, and now. So this and now is a continuation, if you will, in the same thought that he had with his father in the relationship between his father, God, and him. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out. I know not how to go out or come in. So in verse 7, he looks at himself. He's a young man, 20 years old, and he's taken over the seat of his father. Excuse me. And you know that in Israel, a man was not counted a man until he was 30 years of age. he is still considered to be under the rule of mom and dad, if you will. But here, his father has passed. And so he is having to take over the seat that his father was given. And but David, he already knew Solomon as being wise, even though he may not have been the age of 30, but yet he was still wise. And he says, I know not how to go out or to come in. And this is telling God that he certainly does not know all there is to know about the manner of life that is expected of him. And so I think, in my mind, that God is listening to this and listening to what he says, and he is going to oblige him with an answer. So I think this was put for the manner of life, or a walk, if you will. And we really can't distinguish the two apart, because when God chooses someone, or someone is chosen and charged in that manner, then there should be help coming. The cavalry should be on the way. And in this situation, certainly, God doesn't leave a person out on the limb. But he goes on in verse 8 and he says again, and. So he's not finished. So he says, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. So he says, I don't know how to come or go here, really, because there's such a great number of people, it's just overwhelming. And if you think about it, for a young man, that would be a very daunting task. He's not asking for things that we would normally ask for, but he's going to ask for something that will truly help him. Verse 9. So he says, give therefore, or because of this. You've heard my counsel. Because of this, therefore, thy servant, give him an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, and for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? So that's what he asked for. He asked for understanding, an understanding heart to judge. So as a servant, he knew he was going to have to judge. And as king, this hearing was going to have understanding. And his heart needed to be in tune for understanding. And this understanding comes from the wisdom of God. So he asks for the wisdom of God, that I may discern between good and bad. A lot of times, this is the problem that we find ourselves in today, is, you know, the good and the bad. Is, and sometimes the bad looks pretty good, and sometimes the good doesn't look so bad. So understanding from God is important in any dispensation that you, that man has been in down through the ages. And so that's what he asked. He said he wanted to be able to judge the people this way. And in verse 10 it says, "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing." So this was something that that became pleasing to God, and there's a little note there in 10 where it says the Lord, if you have a companion Bible, and it's a little asterisk there, and it said one of the 134 places where the Sophrim put Adonai instead of Jehovah for the Lord there. So you see, that's another little difference that if we didn't have the notes, we wouldn't have realized or we wouldn't have understood that. So the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked these things in verse 10. So we're going to get to verse 11 and verse 12. And we find that there are pluses here, as I have put in my notes. And there's five or six places where this was a plus on Solomon's test, if you will. Because it said in a dream, you know, God appeared unsolved. So, if you're going to have a test, I remember back in school, and that's been a long, long time, but all these questions, you got a plus or a minus. And so in verse 11, let's look at it. Let's look at it and see what it says. "And God said unto him, because thou had asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." So we find that there's he says, because you've asked this. This was a plus in his favor. "And you've not asked for thyself for a long life." That's another plus, because, you know, I don't think in Solomon's mind here he was worried about the length of service that he was going to have in this job that he had taken to rule over Israel. So there was another plus. "And he neither asked for riches." Now, how many would not have asked for riches? If you had the ear of God and God says, you know, what do you need? So he didn't ask for riches either. So that's another plus. And so he'd not ask for the soul or the life of thine enemies either. And, of course, they were many that were, following after David at the time of David's old age. And, David had asked Solomon to take care of some of these. And, he had kind of put the enemy situation behind him at this point. And so that was a plus on what he had asked God for. So, that was four things right there, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4. So he could discern judgment. I left that one out. That was 5. So there's 5 pluses that goes along with that verse of scripture in 11. And he says, behold, again, here is low. And call attention to, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So this is what God had promised Solomon. He said, I've done according to what you've asked, and I've given you a wise and understanding heart. And he says, there's been no king like you before ever in the earth, and there won't be ever again. A man like this. Like you. And that's a lot to say. That is truly a lot to say. Verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Oh. He gave him what he asked for, but he also went beyond that. And this is another example of God dealing with man and mankind as provider. Because God has the ability to provide for his people their needs. And we always need to remember that we're the stewards here. We're not the owners, but we're the stewards. The Lord Jesus Christ is ultimately the owner. He has or will have the dominion. And so we're using these things. Let's look at 13, and he says, and I have also given thee that which had not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, here again is the charge. In my ways there is 32:12 in the Strong's, it's Yahweh. In 14, if thou will walk in my ways, I'm going to map out, Solomon, I'm going to give you these things, and I'm going to map out your way of life. That's your walk. And if thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes, my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And so therefore David walked is again 1980. Because David did not always walk the way that God had asked him to. Again, the old man at times took over. And so David's walk was not exactly God's way. And so Solomon, God says, Solomon, if you walk in my ways. In 15, it said, if Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Where was he at? He was in Gibeon. And he came to Jerusalem. See, when he woke up, he got up, started on the journey. He came to Jerusalem and he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. There's that little mark again, right by the Lord. And offered up burnt offerings, and he offered peace offerings, and he made a feast to all of his servants. And you know, there in that verse of scripture, and we'll stop there, I guess, with the, getting kind of late. We'll stop there, and we'll pick up with chapter 6 the next time. But he says, they came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offered. And that offered there in 15 is prepared. In the note there, it says, see Appendix 43:1-3, showing that the ceremonial law was in writing before the days of Solomon, and not a later production, as asserted and assumed by some. And I went and looked up that, the word offered or prepared, and, it's to make ready or prepare a victim, for sacrifice. And you know, even all the way back to, Adam and Eve with Abel and Cain, you know, a sacrifice was required. And, appendix call it a victim, and you know, I never really give it a whole lot of thought, but certainly there's a lot that goes into this when preparing an animal there for sacrifice, that all of this stuff doesn't go up. Some of it goes down. A sin offering never is ever said to go up to God. But when if you get a burnt offering and a burnt offering is made, then it is a sweet smelling savor that does go up. But there's some things in the offering situations that goes up and some that does not go up. And I don't have a lot of information on that yet, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to look into that somewhat, because that kind of tweaked my interest in that part of it, because I'd never really given that a whole lot of consideration as sacrifices and offerings being made, that I knew they were somewhat different because they made a difference in Scripture. But it also differs, you know, before God, what goes up and what does not go up. And that word there in the Hebrew is aseah. To make ready or prepare a victim for sacrifice. Certainly needs to be done according to the way things are written for that. And that's really interesting. I've never really gotten involved into that yet in the all of my time to study in the offerings and sacrifices. And so, it might be good on my part for my own particular, instance to look at it and to read it and to get an understanding of what, how that goes there. So, it's really good to have you with us this morning, and I certainly hope that by going over this again that we refreshed our minds with some of the things that Solomon was going through as a young man. And in chapter 6, he's going to take up the fact of building the house of the Lord. And that's interesting too. And not only that, but the way it's assembled together is a kind of a reminder of man, the temple of the Lord, the temple in Jerusalem, and how it was made and how it was constructed. Was kind of like man was constructed. But the fact is that it housed the Word of God, and it housed the place where God would come and dwell with man. And that's what our body is in this day and age. It is a temple unto the Lord, and so there is an association both in Philippians and both in Ephesians, dealing, of course, again, with the body of Christ. It talks about the body of Christ and how it fitted together, just like the temple was fitted together in those terms. And so we have the situation there that the temple was made with the outer part of it being stone and the inner part of it being fir, cedar, and gold. And that fir, cedar, and gold was the inner portion, kind of like the inner man is where the Holy Spirit dwells. And the outer portion is what we would naturally call or look at in terms partially, in my view, of being the old man, in a sense. And I'm still dealing with this, and so hopefully Wednesday night we'll try to get going on that a little bit. So thank you again for your attention, and thank you for your time. May God bless you for it. Bow with me. Father, again we come to another time on a beautiful Sunday that we're going to close the book, but not for long. Lord, that we have the urge and we have the need to keep it open and keep it before us each and every day. God, we know we're tested, as Brother Barney put it forth earlier today. There's always tests, things that come down the road, and sometimes we feel like we have a great burden, but on the other hand, we realize that it's nothing according to what your Son did for us. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege. And Lord, we sit in awe and realize that we have been blessed beyond hope and expectation by you and for what you've done for us. Having the realization and the understanding that even before you created, we were on your mind and in your love. And then to come to find out that we've been chosen for a purpose. And to know and understand and to find that that was something above and beyond anything that we had ever heard before. And our prayer today is kind of like Solomon, that we might be worthy of that. But we also know that we can only be worthy through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our head. Thank you again for that understanding. Thank you for that love. And Lord, point us in the direction of those that don't have that understanding, that we might somehow, in some way, help them come to realize and understand that that also might be their hope. Guide and direct our lives in that manner. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.